There are four dimensions in this existence of life that are verifiable, observable, and definable. And we understand them. They're the four dimensions. In the last one, of course, as you see there, dealing with time, wherever you include the other, there are string theories of other dimensions, other different planes of dimensions that exist. Some say up to 11, some say up to 26 different dimensions of parallel universes and dimensions, whether it starts along the evolutionary path that ours starts along with or a different one. That, of course, goes into the realm of philosophy and theory and is not definable, is not really to the full extent. Neither is it observable. Neither is it outside anywhere else other than the mind of man. But there are four dimensions that we can see and that we can understand. And in connection with these four dimensions, when we look in Scripture, I believe that there are four dimensions that that the Scriptures deal with, one of them being of the love of God to man, and then also man's love of God in a four-dimensional realm, in a four-dimensional way. And we have this explained to us in Scripture. Turn with me, if you would, to Ephesians, the third chapter, and verse 18. Or if not, you can read along with me, where Paul makes this statement, and this in connection with God's love to man, that we may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. Verse 19 goes on to explain or to say, and to know or understand the love of God which passes knowledge. It goes beyond the knowledge of man. It goes beyond the knowledge of man, but yet is still quantifiable from the standpoint that God has revealed it to us. And so we have really four dimensions that are here in connection with the love of God, that is, God's love to us. The first being is the breadth of God's love, as stated by Paul when we look there in Ephesians, the third chapter, and verse 18. But when we think about the breadth of God's love, and that is from the Greek word platos, suggests a great extent. And the breadth of God's love is given really to each and every one of us. When we look over in 1 Peter, the second chapter, 1 Peter 2 and verse 10, Peter says this. He says, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. The love of God has extended to the breadth of all humanity. It is not subject to just a lineage of people today, as it had been before under the Mosaic Law, but the breadth of God's love is to all peoples, all nations of the earth, all races of the earth, all people Christ Jesus died for. And as Peter explains here, that which is not a people can now be made a people. Those that are not Jews can now be a people of God. And those that had not obtained mercy by this love of God and this great breadth of love that had been given by God through the sacrifice of Christ Jesus can now be realized in mercy. Also, we see when we turn to Romans, the ninth chapter, and we look there in verses 25 and 26. Romans 9, 25 and 26, Paul says this. He says, and he saith in OC, I will call them my people, which were not a people, and beloved, which were not beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, you are not my people, there they shall be called the children of the living God. In this first dimension of love, the love that passes knowledge that now has been made known and can be observable, can be obtained by man, it covers this breadth of love that God had for us in the giving of His only begotten Son. John, the third chapter and verse 16. We understand this first dimension that it encompasses all of mankind, all of humankind. And that expression of love is so broad and so great that it comes down to where none are left out. Those that will receive it, those that will receive the truth can be part of that love, that total breadth of love that's been given by God because of His love to man. But not only that, the length of the love. When we look at the word length, mekos, from the Greek, a greatness, a vast extent. And we think about the love of God and the extent that was there. We go back to Luke, the 22nd chapter, verses 40 through 44. And we have the account there of Jesus in the garden just before his death. And he takes three of the 11 that are there with him that were his apostles and goes deeper into the garden. And as he goes into the garden, he drops on his knees and he prays to the Lord. He says, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." Talking about the accomplishment of death that he's about to do. "Let this pass from me. If there is another way that this can be done, let this pass from me." But he says, "Not my will, but your will be done." And he prays this three times, and we see that there's great stress upon him, even to the point where his sweat becomes blood and drops from his forehead. Jesus knew the length of love that he was going to have to show. The length of that love was going to be unto death. And not just a normal death, but one of the most cruelest forms of death that had ever been devised by human beings. That is crucifixion. Jesus knew the situation. He knew what was about to take place unto him. And he realized it. And when we turn over to 1 John, the 4th chapter, and look there at verses 9 and 10, 1 John 4, verses 9 and 10, John says, "It was manifested that the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only Son, begotten Son, into the world, that we might live through Him. Herein is love," and the length of love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. When you consider the dimension of the love of God in this second point, this vastness and greatness, the length, the extent to which this love was shown, it was in the death of Christ Jesus, and not just any death, but a very cruel form of death. It was very needful that length, that dimension of love be seen. And the reason being is that there was not another sacrifice that could be made in order for there to be salvation for mankind. The blood of bulls and goats had been offered, millions upon millions, but they would not lead unto salvation. Hebrews the 10th chapter and verse 4. Only the length that God was willing to go to in order to show us love would lead us or give us the hope of eternal life, that forgiveness of sin. That in the second dimension of love we see then is the forgiveness of sins, the length at which Jesus Christ went to his death. In that third dimension we look at the depth. And when we think about that from the Greek word bathos, deep, extreme, and especially this word poverty. Poverty. And we look back to Luke the 4th chapter and there at verse 18. Luke the 4th chapter, verse 18. This statement is made by Christ Jesus. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." When we think about this third dimension of love that is seen, the depth at which it went to, we see that it was not for those that were socially accepted. It wasn't for those that even considered themselves to be religiously astute. It wasn't for just the educated in the law, the scribes and the doctors of the law, but rather it was for the poor. And there I think more in connection with what Jesus talked about in a Sermon on the Mount, poor in spirit. And it was for those that were captives. And that falls upon each and every one of us. We are all held captive prior to becoming children of God by sin. And when we look over in Ephesians, the 4th chapter, in verse 8, Paul makes this statement in connection with this third dimension of love. He says there, "Wherefore he saith, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive," or a multitude of captives. And he did that in the sacrifice of himself. That depth of love that we've seen, this now the third dimension that is described to us by Paul here, that third dimension, that is to bring souls out of captivity, bound in sin. And you know, this is something, as we said, all of these dimensions that are in the here and now, whether they be things physical or, as we're talking about, things that are spiritual, are definable, quantifiable, observable, and understandable. And we need to come to this understanding, because there are so many today that don't consider sin in their life. Sin is an accusation against the freedom of the human being. Sin is an accusation against the free will of what man wants to do. Men do not want to hear about sin in their life. Our society is trying its best to not recognize sin. And this is the breath to which the Lord went to for all of us to understand, being in sin, that He has made a means of forgiveness for us. And then this fourth dimension of this love, the height, the hupos, the heavens, the high station. Hebrews, the 7th chapter and verse 25. Hebrews 7 and verse 25. Notice what the Hebrew writer says there. Verse 25 of chapter 7, he says, "Wherefore he," that is Jesus, "is able also to save them to the uttermost, that they come unto God by him, seeing he liveth to ever make intercession for them." This fourth dimension of love that comes from God deals with the salvation of mankind. Deals with what Jude is talking about in the 24th verse when we turn there. Jude verse 24, where he says, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy." This fourth dimension of love is that which we know is heaven, we understand is heaven in connection with the salvation of our souls. It is the fourth dimension in which we have not seen, but yet we believe because we are told by God that He is there, that His Son is there, and that the saved will be there. What we have in the love of God, the four dimensions of the love of God to us, is really all that is needed by man. That is the breath to which Jesus died, or the love that He shown through His death unto all men. That is the length that He went to. That is the sacrifice of Himself. That is the depth to which He went down to bring us up, that is, out of our sins into a safe condition. And the height that He promises because He goes to make a place for us, that is, in heaven. When we think about this, the four dimensions of God's love is all-encompassing and demands a response. It's all-encompassing because it's what we're about. It's what man needs. It's what man cannot do for himself. But as we say here in this last part, it also demands a response from us, and it demands a four-dimensional response from you and me. Whenever I look over in Mark the 12th chapter and verse 30, Jesus said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength." And here really is the four-dimensional response to the love of God that has been seen to us. You see, it's our love in response to what God has done for us. And the four dimensions of our love of God are, first of all, from the heart, the cardia. That is the seat of understanding, intelligence, and character, or will. When we look over in the words of Solomon, in Proverbs, the first chapter, and verse 7. Proverbs, the first chapter, and verse 7. He really sets it forth for us in connection with the heart, with the understanding of man, how that is a response unto God. And he says this, "The fear of the Lord," that is the respect of the Lord, and I will also say just the fear of the Lord, depending upon your situation and your thought process. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." You see, what Solomon is saying refers back to this response in the first dimension, that it comes from an understanding that there is a higher being. There has to be more to this life than just what we see physically here. There has to be a greater response to one that is in control, a higher being that exists, because we are created beings and we understand that. And he says that understanding needs to come into our heart, where we have this understanding that the fear of the Lord really is the beginning of knowledge. There are those that have lived that says the fear of the Lord is not the beginning of knowledge. And they've passed from this life without that knowledge. They have lived their life in connection with not having knowledge of God, and really never came to a true understanding, a pure understanding of what this life is about. We look over in John the 3rd chapter in verse 18. Jesus says this, "He that believes on Him is not condemned, but he that believes not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." You see, in that first dimension, there has to be that understanding of authority that comes from God. That what we have in this is a understanding that goes beyond what man can provide. We understand that man has knowledge and he has wisdom, but about things that are physical, he's captured in that. He cannot go greater than that. And the smartest man that lives, the best that he can do is that which is captured by what is around him. He is one-dimensional in nature and doesn't go on to this first dimension of love that toward God, that is from the heart, from that seat of understanding, to where the will turns toward God. And then in the second, the word soul or psuche, the vital force that animates the body. When we look over in Romans 8 chapter and verse 13, the second dimension deals with how we conduct ourselves. The response that we have unto God must be not only in understanding, but also in the way that we conduct ourselves. When we look in verse 13 of Romans 8 chapter, Paul says this, "For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live." You know, there's even a standpoint from experience and observation where this should come true and be understandable by everybody, recognized. And all you have to do is you look at the things that are in the world, and you look at people that are living after the world, and you look at the things that happen to them when there is not a respect for authority, when there is not a respect for the God of heaven, and you look at the things that happen to them, and it's filled on our news every night. You have killings. You have thefts. You have people that are done wrong. You have children that are abused. You have women that are abused. You have men that are abused. You have all these things that take place. Well, when we come back to the second dimension of love, the life force that is in one that is showing love back to God does so from the standpoint that they understand that to put to death the deeds of the body, they'll live. To live after the desires of the flesh, the desires of the body, means death. There's an understanding in that. When we look over in Matthew, the sixth chapter, and there we look at verse 22, Jesus makes this statement in the Sermon upon the Mount. He says here in verse 22, "But I say unto you that six in verse 22, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light." And it really relates to this aspect of this second dimension of love. The light that is that which is taken in by the understanding then directs the body in a life that lives toward God. And even by observation, we understand those that follow after God's will live a different type of life. They don't have the turmoil, the upsets, and so forth that are in life by those that live after the flesh. And we can just see that round about us. And then the words of Paul when we look over in 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. 1 Corinthians 6. And there we look at verse 13. 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. And there we look at verse 13. And Paul makes this statement. He says, "Meats for the belly and belly for the meats," that is living in the carnal life. "But God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body." In other words, that love, that second dimension of love, shows forth a love toward God in the way that we conduct ourselves, that God is seen in us. You know, there are so many words that are defiled in this life. And I'm convinced that the most defiled word of all in our society is the word Christian. Because there were those that will take it and apply it to themselves and have no aspect of being religious, no aspect or element of recognizing the authority of God, having nothing to do with really the love of God, nor the way that they conduct themselves, where the second dimension is not seen in them. They live how they want to, they live after the flesh, and still find a way to call themselves Christians. You see, the second dimension means that if you call yourself a Christian, you're living that way. You're living that way. And then we have the third dimension, that of loving God with all of our mind, all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, dioneia, a way of thinking, thought, or desire. Wherever I look at what Paul has to say over in Ephesians 4, chapter, verse 21 through 24. Ephesians 4, 21 through 24. Paul says this: if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former way of life the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. There's the love, that third dimension. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. You see, in this third dimension of love, that is loving the Lord with all of our mind, there is that aspect of putting self away. Really, what Paul is talking about here in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, verses 21 through 24, is repentance. He's talking about that change of mind that says, I will no longer do my will, but I'm going to do the Lord's will. That must be seen in our lives in order for there to be true love unto God in the third dimension, to where we love the Lord to the point that our mind is not toward ourselves anymore, but rather toward what God tells us to do, toward that which He has instructed us to do. And then the fourth dimension, all of our strength, ischus, ability, force, and might. And that is the reason then that Peter makes a statement when we look over in 1 Peter, the fourth chapter, in verse 11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. And he goes on to say, if any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God gives, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ. You notice this: to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. That because we love the Lord our God with all of our strength, the all-encompassing love that is in us, the all that we have to give, all that we are, we live toward the Lord. We have then the four dimensions that are of love that are presented to us in Scripture. This is in response to the four dimensions of love that God has shown to us: the breadth, length, depth, and height. And here's our response. And it is the response that transcends all covenants. The statement is made by Jesus while he lived under the old covenant, but it transcends all. It goes back to man listening to God and man loving God because he is God. When we think about this, the four-dimensional love of man to God must be all-encompassing of our being. Just as the love of God was all-encompassing to us under our salvation, it must be all-encompassing in us in order for us to be with God at the end of time. In closing, think about this. The love of God has filled all dimensions of our needs and being, even unto salvation. Do you understand that there's not one aspect of our life that God is not covered by love if we follow Him? We'll have a better life here upon this earth. We'll have a happier life here upon this earth. We'll have a more productive life here upon this earth if we follow after the love that God has given to us. It has filled all of our needs, and especially that which is spiritual in nature. In Revelation, the first chapter, in verse 5, John says, even from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn out of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him loving us and washing us from our sins by his blood. In that sacrificial aspect of what Jesus did for us, he gives us the means of really the full dimension of God's love. And in response, once again, to this, our love of God must be fully dimensional for us to see heaven. It can't just be a portion of it. We can't pick and choose, well, Lord, I'll do this for you, but I won't do that for you. But it's all encompassing. 1 John 2 and verse 5, whosoever keeps his word, truly in this one, the love of God has been perfected. By this we know that we are in Him. When we think about the four dimensions of love that comes from God and the response in four dimensions that man has back toward God, we think about all that is needed. There's nothing that is left out. The full potential is met by God, and God expects the full potential from us in order to be pleasing to Him. Maybe those here this morning that are not members of the body of Christ, they're not Christians. this whole aspect of love of God toward man is given in the gospel call. And that gospel call deals with the fact that God requires faith from those who will be His children. Hebrews 11, chapter and verse 6, the writer says, "But without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." There's a diligence that takes place. It really comes back to that response. And that response starts out, first of all, by those that are not Christians in responding to God by repentance. I'll do Your will. And I realize if I don't do Your will, I will in all like manner perish. Luke the 13th chapter, verses 3 and 5. It is seen, this love of man, in the response to the love that God has given to us in the confession of Christ Jesus as His only begotten Son. Acts 8 chapter and verse 37, the Ethiopian nobleman says, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And then in our obedience, our love to God is seen because of the love that is recognized by us that God has shown toward us. In that we are baptized, washing away our sins, calling upon the name of the Lord unto salvation. 1 Peter 3 and verse 21. "The like figure unto even baptism doth also now save us. Not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but answer of a good conscience before God, and that by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that which solidified all things." See, that's the response that you start out with. Start living that four-dimensional response throughout the rest of our life. That response to what God's love is and is shown toward us, and now we reply back through obedience. And we do that not just point in time, but it's for our life. We do it for as long as there's breath in us. And then there may be those here this morning that have become members of Christ, of His body, but they have forgotten their response to God and His love. They've forgotten to show Christ Jesus in their life. They put things that are of physical nature before things that are spiritual in nature. They put other things first other than Christ Jesus. Well, there's a way back, and God has made provision for that because it fills space and time for us as long as time exists. And that is, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1 and verse 9. There's not one thing that God has not done for us. It fills all the dimensions that are quantifiable, understandable, discernible, and observable. And God requires that of us. Are you in the dimensions of God's love in response to what He's done to us? If not, if there are those that we can help in any way, we ask you to come as we stand and sing.